As far as the no fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other cool and interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
I'm Amama.
And today we had comedian, host of 100 Humans on Netflix. He's been on Conan. So funny. Samuel Bade.
So nice. So kind.
So smart.
Yeah.
Was mathematician turned comedian. We don't get a lot of smart. No, I'm kidding.
No, I think all of
our previous guests were like,
I was going to say, I feel like all of our previous guests were like, I was going to be a doctor.
Yeah, that's so true. We've had a lot of really smart guests on here. And yeah, he just had so many like thoughtful answers and great advice.
So, such great advice, especially our like dating question. Someone wrote in about how to meet guys at the gym. And
oh my God, Yeah, that really opened up my eyes. We were like taking notes, like,
yeah.
I'm gonna use that next time I'm at Blink. Hey, guys, follow me. Why did I get? Oh, I did see a comic at my local Blink. I'm like, of course.
Oh, that's so everywhere. Fun. I would have just jumped right in on the machine next to them. Been like, what's up? If I did it, I'd be like,
just look familiar from the scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just like. Really fun to talk to. We talk about his background as a 2.5 generation American.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of talked about the kind of differences between his like cool hippie parents and our strict brown parents.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the guys who've come on this show have like just cooler parents or more like accepting. Maybe it's like a man thing, but.
Sounds like with him though, because maybe his parents lived here or were born here and they were kind of more. Liberal, and he grew up in the Bay Area, which is really cool. We talk about, you know, LA, New York, of course, the different like comedy scenes.
Yeah, moving around, like visiting different places, and then also having a bunch of dates in the places that
oh
you
my
visit.
God, and Tinder. This was a very Tinder heavy in the beginning, which was kind of fun sharing our different Tinder experiences and the latest on that.
I think this is a good episode just to like know what's actually possible, which seems like you can, you know, really make time for dating and hitting on people at the gym.
Yeah. So you guys should do that.
you should absolutely do that.
Listen to this episode. But before we get to that, we're going to get to our first segment, the No Fly List, where we talk about people we think should not be able to fly our shit list. Instead of innocent brown people or just people, you know, in this case, we have brown people. We were just talking about we came from a bunch of family wedding stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I would like to put those aunties are like, you should get married. When are you going to get married?
My God. Absolutely. It's so annoying. It's also like they assume that like there's like a deep unhappiness that if you're not, and like a lot of aunties will say shit like, I'm praying for you to get married next. And it's like, I hope you're not. I don't want that at all.
Dude, it's hilarious because I think like married people a lot of times are really unhappy. And I think they just want to bring you on board with them and bring you down.
Yes, yeah.
Or it's just like they think like, or Islamically, like your life isn't complete. Religion isn't complete until you get married.
And they always like recite this like one thing about like how like this is like part of your duty in Islam.
Right. And your destiny and your fate.
My favorite part of my cousin's wedding was when the imam was like, and marriage between a man and a woman. And I was like, I was like, don't say anything. I was like, I'm supposed to behave.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's hard. It's rough.
Yeah.
Just growing up with that. Like, I can't imagine doing that. Like a traditional, like all that traditional stuff. Like,
I'm just going to elope. And I've said this so many times.
Honestly, that's the move.
Yeah. There's no way. And I'm also, no one is going to know when and who I marry. And I'm just going to like bring it up. Be like, oh shit, by the way.
Tell them, you know.
Even like, even like friends. I'd be like, did you know we actually got married? It's crazy. Yeah, anyway. It's just the easiest thing to do.
Just change your Facebook status to married one day.
One of my friends once said, I know you'll get married. We're like, one day I'm just going to read a caption that just says, oh yeah, and my husband and I, and she was like, I'm just going to be like, oh, you know what? This makes sense for a mama. She she wouldn't tell anyone and she would just do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, I'm definitely, the more weddings I attend, the more I'm like, I never want to do this. No. Like,
there's some weddings that have been fun and my friend's wedding is coming up and I'm excited, but those are the weddings you can drink alcohol at.
Yes. That's the other thing about Muslim weddings. It's like, there's no joy. Yeah.
Well, it's so true. It's like, look, these two people who like barely know each other are about to get married. Where is my booze? Everyone's so boring.
It's really weird to see these two virgins touch each other for the first time.
And everyone's so fixated. Like, Muslims are so repressed sexually. Like, aunties will make like weird jokes.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, like, I am not going to participate in these, like, oh, yes, haha. What a fun wedding night it's going to be. And it's like, no, it's if you're a virgin for real, it's going to suck.
Yeah. If you're a virgin and you need
some lube.
Yeah. If you need some advice, definitely
don't hit me up. I'm barely. I too have never had sex.
If you need advice, we also need advice for one day when we meet our nice Muslim man.
Can you imagine like... I can't even imagine, like, what my first time if I got arranged married, because I would just be like, so I have these vibrators. You know what that is?
Oh, my God. But, you know, like, traditionally, like, the mom takes you aside or somebody the night before and is like, honey, so this is what's going to happen. Let me talk you through that. You get the sex talk the night before your wedding.
That's so weird to me, because if my mom pulled me aside, I'd be like, please, please stop. Like, I would be, because I would just at that point, the night before, I would just admit it. I'd be like, look, yeah. I have... too many people, so no.
And the amount of, like, we're both in our 30s, not married, and I feel like whenever they come up to us at these weddings, it's like you're saying, like, it's kind of like pity, like we were talking about. It almost feels like, it's okay, well, you know, there's still hope. That's what I feel
like. Yeah, and it's like, yes, of course there is. Also,
I have standards.
Yeah.
Aunties who say that, please, you probably can't fly anyway, but.
You probably don't. You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
No.
And stop terrorizing us with your freaking, like, pushing your marriage agenda onto us.
Yes.
Just let people be, man. Yeah. Not everyone needs to get married and be, or at least in that traditional way. Just let it's just annoying at every wedding. And I know, like, they mean well, some of them, but, and it's also sort of this, just becomes this sort of automated thing that they say.
Yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. And I think they think that they're, like, I have a auntie who keeps sending my mom all these rishte every time, like, constantly, and especially now that her daughters are getting married. And it's the worst people. It's like, I understand what you're doing, but also this sucks, so please stop.
Yeah.
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 So just, I guess, like, overall, you're on the no-fly list if you keep butting in and... trying to get me set up on these arranged marriage dates. It's so annoying.
Yeah, like politely fuck off. Thank you.
Thank you, Auntie.
Thank you, Auntie.
But in the meantime, we really hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah. Welcome, Sammy.
Oh, no. Welcome to you.
Oh, wow. No one's welcomed us before. Yes, welcome us.
Yeah, welcome us. Did you? You know what? It's like, I love when guests say really nice things or bring us snacks. You did one of those things.
Oh,
check your backpack.
Go out and buy us some. There's some Pocky right there. Just steal us some snacks.
And I got
it's been
open, so we can all share it.
Wow. It's so California of you to bring kombucha.
I know. I've been trying to hide my Californianess on this trip, but it's like,
how much is kombucha in California? Because it's like expensive everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I would normally get this at Whole Foods for like $3.50, and it's $4.99.
Yeah,
but I like to support the local shops. You know?
Yeah,
the bodega,
the bodega guys.
You guys are bodegas. We need bodegas in LA.
What are they called in LA?
I guess you don't really. I mean, you just have like a corner store, and then you have your stores.
Yeah.
So well, yeah, it's interesting that bodegas are uniquely New York, I guess.
It's just a convenience store, a corner store. Yeah. It's a deli, I guess.
Could never live without the bodega that's like down the... It's so strange.
Bodegas are amazing.
Yeah.
Because they are like our corner stores, except they have good shit.
Yeah, they do. And oh my God, they have good late night food.
Yeah.
I had a beef patty yesterday. That was probably not the best
idea. They just served you a straight up beef patty.
Yeah, I was like, can I have a beef patty?
Can I get a slice of beef? You guys have a slice? Yeah, we got it right here.
They have everything. They end up knowing a lot about you, like your drinking habits, they who know you're bringing so, home.
Yes.
Really? Okay,
but that, I one time was hooking up with a guy, and I was like, do you have condoms? He was like, no. And then I was like, okay, can you go to the bodega?
Yes. I would never.
No, I'm kidding. But I was just like, can you go get them? And he was like, well, why can't you come in? And I was like, I can't. I was like, I can't have them. Like, see, no, yeah.
That's my bodega.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys would, and like, you know, I always say assalamu alaikum. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, hey, uncle.
Right.
Magnum.
It's not me.
That's funny. How long are you in town for?
So I was here like total of 3 weeks. I'm leaving on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it was like a 3 week total trip, except I went to Boston for a little bit, but.
Nice. What did you do in Boston?
Just some shows. Yeah. It was just.
And we just did the Arab American Comedy Festival together. Where we met. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. Well, I could only do. Yeah, I went out of town, but I was there for the first couple of nights and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Just sold out. It was dope. It was so nice to see everybody again.
Yeah, it was really cool. Did you hang out at Jake's after?
Oh, yeah. Did you not see me get sloppy? I was like, I didn't realize. I'm like usually more put together, but I'm like, fuck it. Free drinks. I got them. I was just in and out. He was like pouring it like to the max. And I was like, all right. And then I was bad when the next night I went in and he had the bottle ready. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I'm not a big drinker. It was like two drinks is all it takes for me to like feel, you know.
Two drink minimum.
Yeah. Two drink max. That's me. But it was a fun hang. It was cool. It was cool. Yeah.
Oh,
they need to let day season.
I know. They need to let
Manasa. Are they going to like?
Yeah. Well, it's okay. We were annoying. We could be like.
I was opposed to Arabs. Yeah.
It's funny. I've said that to like a lot of brown comics. Like, oh, you're not doing the Arab fest? Like, I'm not Arab. But oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pakistan is not the Middle East.
No.
Like, I just look at Middle Eastern. We're all the same.
People don't even know that I'm Pakistani because of my last name. So it's like, I've gotten invited to do like an Indian only thing, but it was paid a lot. So I was like, obviously, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I was like, my grandparents were in India. I'm not lying.
I feel like now they've lumped us all together. Like it used to be MENA, like Middle East, North Africa. Now it's MENASA, right? Middle East, North Africa, South Asia.
They're just going to go to every single minority.
So now I'm seeing that all the time. MENASA. I was like, oh, I guess that we'll just have a.
The MENASA Festival, which is.
MENASA Festival.
Every single minority.
As soon as we unite with like the Eastern Northern Asians, we're going to just conquer this.
It should be like MENASA Tino-Asian or something. We're just going to be. Yeah. All the minorities need to get together and defeat the white people.
Absolutely.
It will happen. 2048, apparently.
Yeah, when the world ends.
Whichever happens first.
Yeah. How do you, did you always live in LA or?
No, I moved there about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I'm a California native. I grew up in the Bay Area. Mm. And I moved to LA 4 years into stand up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I hated it the whole time. And don't know why I'm still there.
Why are you in New York? Good.
Yeah, well, the reason I chose LA over New York is because being from the Bay Area, it's like I could just keep going back home very easily.
Yeah,
and like, when you start somewhere, you
and
know
that's
it's
a
like,
positive thing.
I was gonna say.
I want to move far away. You want to be close
it's not
to
the
home?
Family yeah. aspect. Oh, okay. It's that like I started in the Bay Area and like I can get up shows so easily there. So
that's
like,
a good point. Yeah.
I can have like, it feels like New York. Cause like the Bay Area is a great comedy scene. I tell people like outside
of
New York,
it's. I loved it. I was there like. Couple of years ago, right before the pandemic, and you did Sketch Fest. It's so fun. It's so great.
It's like, I would say New York is your number one, and I would say tied close second is Chicago, Bay Area.
Chicago's great. Like dope, Bay Area. I did like Bay Area way more than LA comedy, for sure. And Chicago. But yeah, you just seem like more like New York comedy.
I always have vibed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always, would you have like smart comedy and...
Yeah, I'm heavily considering it now because my thought process was always this. Okay, well, first of all, you know, LA is closer to home. I want to do acting. I want to like do the Hollywood thing. So might as well do that at my 20s. But I don't want to like go to New York and then spend years there and then come to LA.
Yeah,
this was the old school of thought. Like it's since changed a lot. And then I was like, well, I want to move to New York, but I'll wait till I get a job there. Maybe I'll get like a writing job, or like The Daily Show or something like that. You know, all these auditions and nothing. Then I'm like, well, am I just going to keep saying this forever? Or am I just going to go, you know, just choose to move myself?
Right.
So that's where I am now. But the thing is, so like LA, there's been this like mass exodus of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So now a lot of us are getting like spots at like the store, the factory, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, shit, this is kind of like a small pond now.
Where'd everyone go?
Yeah, Texas.
A lot of people moved to Austin.
Oh, yeah. Austin became like the new scene.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people moved here.
Yeah.
But like in general, it's like, you know, our comedy capacity or our comedians have been reduced by like 50%.
Oh, wow.
It's wild.
So you can get up more and better quality stage time.
Yes, except it's still LA and there's still like not a lot of shows, but it's starting to recover. So it's either the best time to leave LA or the worst time. And I haven't, when I figure that out, then I'll make my decision.
Yeah.
But I'm leaning towards like a bi-coastal thing, but
yeah,
like
that would be ideal.
You have to have money to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's ideal, but you also need
you need a relationship in each place so you can crash it.
that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
you or two girlfriends or whatever,
or in Chicago and Bay Area. Well,
I think that's like a smart idea actually. Every time you go to a city to do shows, just meet someone there.
Just Tinder,
Tinder your
way through comedy.
I was doing that for a while. That was exactly. Exactly my strategy, like 2014, 2015. I never paid for a hotel.
You have game then. Because I was going to say, that is like confidence to be like, I will just go
like,
in
I'll
and meet
it.
Someone.
I'll find someone to crash.
There's no, I would be homeless. I can't do this.
It costed a lot of energy. So I'll say that. It was, I don't want to be like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I will say it was very convenient.
When I was in Chicago and when we were in Miami for like a hot second, I was on Tinder, but then.
Oh, yeah, me too. There was no.
And then in Boston, I was also on Tinder, which was like stupid because I was like, I know that I've lived here for so long that I could just like meet an ex and do whatever.
Meet an ex. That's fine.
Be like, hey. But yeah, now I keep getting really cool matches from those cities when I'm in New York and I'm like, wait a minute.
I turned mine off.
I don't know how that's still happening.
Are you talking about Tinder?
Yeah.
Or, really? So Tinder is, because I got off Tinder. Is it still happening? Is it still like working?
It's I like it. I like it better than
I just got on in Miami and I hadn't been on in 10 years because I had a terrible experience and then everyone was like, no, Tinder's cool now again.
Oh, it's
and
about,
it's not a
cool,
yeah. Yeah, it's cool again. I think it's just,
it was fine.
Yeah. I think lately I've just been meeting all these people that were cool in the cities that I was like at like the week before. And I'm like, what's happening?
Missed connection.
Wow. I know. And now I'm like, I guess I have to go back to the city and keep in touch with you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's cool. But Tinder's cool now. You should.
I'll
if
get
you
back
ever...
on. I was cleaning up on Tinder. I in like 2014, 2015, I probably went on like at least 100 dates.
What?
At least.
Jesus.
Yeah. Bumble, I met up with two people.
Yeah, Bumble.
And I've been on Bumble.
Yeah, Bumble's terrible.
Bumble's terrible. Yeah. Wait, that's how do you have time to do all of that?
Like, well, back in the day, I was making time for it. But like when you're on the road and you're traveling and like you have nothing else to do in a city. But it was
true.
Like now it's like, oh, I should write or do something for my career. But like after that, I was like, oh, after a show, let's see who I can meet
let's
up. And
fuck the locals.
Yeah.
Let's really get the locals flavor.
It's supporting the local economy in a way.
It is.
I mean, it was Tinder was new at the time. So it was like everybody wanted to meet up and have fun and meet new people. And like it just got old after a while, like both for me, but it seemed like for everybody. So
now people are married off Tinder. I know.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of people.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met a guy through Tinder when I was in Providence and God, he sucked so much. But it was a snowstorm and I was only swiping in the, like he was just in the area because of the snowstorm.
Right,
but
right,
yeah,
right.
But everyone else that
it's gotta be weather dependent.
Moved,
yeah.
A lot of my friends who met guys off Tinder that year got married like 2 years later. They were 25, 26. Some of them have gotten through their first divorce already. So.
Think about how many Tinder babies there are. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many people named their kid Tinder, do you think?
That would be so horrible. I do want to
really,
look that up.
I would appreciate that. I on actually the nose. Really just
call
like,
in.
Yeah.
Please write us in.
Right.
That would be
if
horrible.
Your kid is named Tinder.
Tinder kid name.
I don't know if you... Do you have any pressure from your parents? Like, we were just talking... We just came from, like, family weddings and stuff right before you came in. We were talking about how everyone's, like, looking at us like, oh, are you going to get married? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you have that pressure either as a man, as an Arab, as like
no, I mean it's all really like informal, like unspoken. Like they want grandkids. They're like every time I meet someone or bring someone home, they're so excited that this might be something.
Yeah,
you bring people home. That's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
What's that? What's that
it's
like?
not a lot. I don't want to make like no, every Saturday
every
they get excited. Yeah, yeah.
Dates,
so
he's
like, Mom, get out of my room. No. But like, you know, if I ever like say, oh, I'm dating someone, like, oh, who is it? And then if that, you know, if they meet them, like, you know, they're hoping it's the one, you know,
yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But yeah, I mean, I can't say that I know what it's like to be, a Middle Eastern woman, I guess, and with, you know, brown parents. I know how it is. I saw it. Yeah.
So. Do you have sisters?
I have an older sister, but she never got that because she got married really early and then got divorced and then got married again and had a kid right away. So she
that's
kind of
the
like,
move.
That is the move. I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Decoy marriage. Get them off her back. Yeah.
Exactly.
I should have done that.
You got to be ahead of the game. It's preemptive striking.
And as soon as an Arab or brown Muslim woman gets divorced, all your parents want is to like get you married again because they're right. like, you can't be out there feral with no hymen. Just fuck, you know, how are people going to know?
It's so funny because for my cousin's wedding, which I've told a theater hum on like, fun slash annoying the planning has been.
Yeah.
But one thing was that like my cousin, it's her older brother who's getting married. Mm-hmm. And a lot of aunties were calling and they were like, she's like 35 and she just doesn't want to get married. And she like has her own life. Yeah. But a lot of aunties were like, yes, we're going to RSVP to the wedding. Also, we're praying for you. We're praying to find someone. And like, she was like, I'm so fucking tired of this. Like, every person who's called has been like, we're also praying for you that you find someone. And I was like, damn, sucks.
The amount of time, I was on my brother's henna, the amount of times, do you guys have a similar word for like, outbalik, like, or do, or like, I hope you're next or whatever. Mm. People kept saying that to me or being like, oh, I hope you find the right one. And
they'll
I'm
just
like,
say
I'm
that,
good.
Yeah.
They're like, I hope you're happy. I hope you find happiness. I'm like, I'm happy right now.
Yeah. They say, I hope your life finally starts.
Oh my God.
And, which is funny because I'm like, so it's been started, but like they'll be like,
it's a third way. Yeah. Done.
But also like, I know. I'm like, also, I think we have 5 years left on this planet. I think it's like near ending.
Wow. I would like totally to say like same to you. Like on like when maybe start your life, it doesn't depend on this marriage that you have.
Yeah, it's kind of wild though, because when they say that shit, it's just like one of those things where you have to be so polite and be like,
just
thanks.
Not,
you
not
also
sure.
think I'm a virgin in like right, at this, right, right. I
which
think that's
we
why,
are which, if our parents are.
So when they say that, wait for your life to start. Oh, the sex, huh?
Yeah. Like, wow. Gee, I can't. Yeah, they're probably like,
auntie,
they
do you mean blowjob? I've given so many out. I'm good.
Oh God! Yeah, at least you don't have that. I think my parents have like backed off, like since like my move was like not intentionally, but like I got engaged and after like broke that off, they sort of backed off a little bit because they're like, ah, that was traumatic. Clearly, but they still kind of they're like, oh, you know, my mom will still be like, oh, so this person, they, you know, they'll let you do comedy, you know, like, oh, excuse
Whoa.
Me.
Whoa.
What a
perfect
What a
yeah.
guest.
Yeah.
What a perfect man
a
for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, as long as you know how to cook and obey, you will be able to do comedy sometime.
In your house.
In
but,
your house. You know.
Right, right. Once the meal's cooked, you can go to your set.
To your baby. That is.
Exactly. But I guess it could be yours. Yeah. But did so are you second generation? Like your parents were born?
Yeah, I'm like second and a half, technically, because my mom, she was born in the States, grew up in the States. Her dad's an immigrant, and her mom is the child of immigrants.
Okay.
And then my dad was born in Beirut and came here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what that would be like 2.5. I don't know.
2.5. Yeah. Sammy is a mathematician, by the way. Truly. Yes. I love. Yeah. That's so funny.
Are you guys first or?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you were in Palestine, so.
I moved there when I was a baby, like 6 months.
Okay. But you were born.
I was born here.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But mostly grew up in the U.S., but lived like, you know, part of my life in Palestine. But it is weird because I feel like I'm not really an immigrant, but I kind of, you know, sort
you
of
are,
immigrant.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a double immigrant.
Immigrant-ish.
Yeah.
I'm just first generation. My parents came here and now they're like, we should go back to Pakistan every time like something happens where they're just like, oh, the kids here don't listen. You're not married. And I think, so that's, I get a lot of that first generation shit. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's unique.
And how did your parents feel about you, like, you know, pursuing comedy after like having like a reputable career as a mathematician?
Well, you know, they were actually really supportive. I think I think it's partially who my parents are. Like, they were very like hippie-ish in their 20s.
Oh, that's cool.
My dad was in a band in Beirut.
What?
So, I mean, first of all, Lebanese, like you start with, you know, being Lebanese of all the, like the Browns and the Arabs, like you're already like way left. You know? For sure. So he was in a band. And so he, you know, he appreciates the arts and all that kind of stuff. Like took me to rock concerts when I was a kid. And then my mom, you know, grew up here, was, you know, flower child, hippie, all that shit. Free, they were all into that free love shit. And so, yeah, I mean, and then we, you know, grew up in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like the culturally, like being into the arts is totally fine. They encouraged me to play the guitar when I was a kid, all that stuff. And then the other thing is that, like, I was always a good student. I was always like, you know, close to 4.0, if not. So they were just like, well, he'll do good in whatever he does.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, they didn't really like, they never really gave me like any kind of authoritarian, like a regime of any sort. And I think that I'm an example of when that works, but I think in most cases it does not. like if you give, like they literally gave me no orders. Like they didn't even teach me to tie my shoes. Like,
yeah. Sammy's wearing Velcro now.
Right, yeah. Right. I'm just saying it somehow worked for me because of my personality. I like to kind of like be in control of stuff and like, you know, I have my own rigorous like plan for things. But my sister, on the other hand, I think is an example of where it went.
Throwing some shade.
He's like, she's divorced.
My sister, no, she would agree if she was here. She, I mean, she knows. Like, she, like, you know, she. It took her like 8 years to graduate UCLA. Like, she kept dropping out, getting back in. She married a dude and like got divorced within 6 months. And like, she knows. She knows what she's about, and she's totally about that life, and she's cool with it. But like, it's an example of our different personalities, how it worked with the way our parents raised us.
Yeah.
I also wonder, like, what part of it is, like, nature and nurture? Because no matter, like, I had, like, you know, very kind of strict, controlling parents and in some ways. More, maybe more so my dad. And then my my oldest brother is, like so not punk, very, like, I don't know. We're all extremely different. Like, I'm more of, like, the also, like, kind of controlling type A. And then my older brother is, like, the exact opposite of that. So I don't know. I think it doesn't matter what your parents do sometimes. I feel like nurture has like big, I mean, I mean, nature has like a bigger pull.
For sure.
I think. But yeah, it could be a reaction or it could be.
I think, and maybe when parents like have that really strong, like, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, people will blame their parents for that.
Yeah.
When really maybe it didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Damn. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
No, but like sometimes I would wish, like, I wish my parents, like, force me to do things, you know, like force me to, like, you know, get into a sport, because they never did any of that. And like,
well, I think because I was gonna say, like, my parents were just like learn and study all the time, but I was such a bad student throughout like high school and most I was a bad student throughout like everything.
Yeah.
But like the only thing I want to do is like play viola or like do dance stuff. And they were like, no.
Yeah, I just begged my parents to take me to guitar lessons. Really? And like they would, you know, make up excuses why they couldn't take me. And like, I just sort of like, that was the one thing I really wanted, but they're like, we'll take you to piano. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking play piano. And like, they put me like ballet, all that stuff, like classic.
Oh, see,
stuff.
I wanted all of that. Well, like my mom was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. But like also study hard. And I was like, at the time I realized I had really bad ADD. So I was just like, I don't get any of these things are going into my head.
Yeah.
Only in grad school when I found Adderall, I was like,
see, if only they knew. That was the secret. They just knew Adderall and you would love to do all that stuff.
I wish I knew about Adderall.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, so we have a segment. It's our first segment called 50 Shades of Brown.
Okay, great.
Where you give dating advice to one of our listeners who wrote in a question.
Awesome.
Okay, so don't fuck this up.
About to ruin lives. Here we go. Give us your mathematical answer. Applied mathematics? Is that what you did?
Applied mathematics.
Is that correct?
That's right. With concentration in dating advice.
Yes. Oh, nice. That's great. The question was, I remember, I read it before, is like, there was a long thing, blah, 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 but how do I meet a guy at the, or how do I talk to a guy at the gym?
That oh, I think that's is great. Because I don't like feeling the pressure of having to talk to anybody at the gym. So if we can encourage you to talk to a guy, that's fantastic. I think the first thing to understand is you have free rein. Like, the guy wants you to talk to him. Even if it's some guy who's in a relationship, and really focused on his sets.
Grunting.
Like, yeah, like there's something that he'll be obliged for you to say to him. I just can't say that I know the same thing about a female wanting that from a male.
Yeah, definitely. And not at the gym either.
Right. Well, yeah, unless you're like really hot, then like,
sure,
yeah, absolutely.
I could see that. But like,
yeah.
I always like, I, you know, if I see someone hot at the gym, I'm like, never in a million years would I say anything to her here. Like, that just seems so
weird. You follow her into the locker room.
And Be like, hey, I saw you.
So you're saying men welcome women. It was a woman that wrote in, actually. And men, you think, welcome that kind of attention, essentially?
Yeah, at the gym, because even- I think it's commonplace for us to be seeing women at the gym. And not, like, not only is it a place where, like, everybody's hormones are high and, like, you know, being testosterone being high and that also being related to sex. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. did we get too
Canal
real?
Canal Street Market real? Just shut down on us. So we're going to get locked in. Can you call somebody?
Yeah, hold on.
We're just recording in the dark now.
Oh, have you been locked in before?
No. Oh, okay, this is hilarious. For our Patreon. Yeah, we just turn it back on. You have a bag over your head. Oh, okay. Oh, hi. Yay. We're back. All right.
Okay, so we were saying.
So they did not like your advice.
They shut it down.
They cut your mic.
God did not like my advice. It means it's good advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of people are going to have sex now. So, yes, hormones are high at the gym. Testosterone's high at the gym. Testosterone is a precursor for sexual activity. So sex is, if not directly on people's minds at the gym or men's minds, let's say, it's subconscious. And obviously that's true for any time, anywhere, but at the gym heightened. Hmm. So I think female attention goes even further at the gym.
This is really
good.
So keep
that in mind. Okay. Keep that in mind. And it's not, you know, it's not like we wouldn't mind you talking to us somewhere else, but like at the gym,
what would you say? Cause like, yeah, so I've done it really easy, like at bars, like, and Athea knows this. I'll just go up to people and be like, you're cute. Here's my number.
Yeah,
and
then
I'll leave. Cause I don't want to like face rejection.
Yeah.
But like at the gym, I'm not like, also like I will actually work out and I'm disgusting, but like, what would you say to someone? Like what's something that someone could come up to you and be like,
well, I mean, the easiest one is like, hey, can you spot me?
I don't do weights.
I don't either.
Okay. That's
hilarious.
And then make it just be like 3 pounders.
Yeah.
then he's like,
and then grunt.
But would be really funny if the guy like had trouble with it, then I'd be like, okay, this was a good test.
It's also a good test. Yeah. I mean, you can kind of like lean on them for advice or support.
Oh, you know what I would do? Maybe I'll say like, this is my new thing. Maybe I'll be like, do you know how to use this machine?
Yeah. That's totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wanted to sincerely ask before, but then don't want to seem like I'm hitting. Also, like, I don't want to give men the satisfaction. Like, I'm so like,
I will at this point, I will give anyone the satisfaction.
But it's so funny that this person asked that because my therapist recommend. She was like, you should talk to a guy at the gym and meet guys at the gym. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I'm like, I go to the gym so I can like meet guys later. It's like, this is not where I want to be like meeting. So I don't want to think about. That's not on top of my mind when I'm at the gym. I'm just like, I'm sweaty. I'm gross. This is where I get to. This is like my other like therapy. So I can't imagine. I've seen cute guys at the gym and I'm like, I don't know. What do you do? The only thing I've done is like get on the treadmill next to them. That was my move.
I was going to say, that's a good move. I go to a gym where maybe I just go at weird hours where everyone's like really old and I'm like, I'm so sorry, sir.
I've been at the gym sometimes. And sometimes the thing is, as a guy, it's hard to tell because sometimes you can kind of tell if somebody might be interested. But as a guy, we tend to think that a lot when it's absolutely not true.
That's true.
But I've been at the gym.
Being on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, that's very true. Yeah.
Guys, know you're,
But I've been at the
vibe.
Gym like a handful of times where like I'll see someone and it feels like there's some kind of a little bit of chemistry and she might be interested. And then she ends up like being the places that I am, which again, could be total coincidence. But like even when it happens after 3 times.
Hey, we're taking down notes. Me and a mom are like,
But like you just said, like I might just go run next to him on the treadmill. And like
that probably is
a move. Like
I
would not.
I would say I highly don't recommend that if you run like me.
I was trying to keep up. I can't be going a 3 when he's going a 7. And I
would
like,
speed walking, be like, hey, man, motherfucker. But if a lot of people are doing that, and here's the thing. I don't know how many times you'd have to come next to me before I would even like be like, okay, I'm going to say something. Cause I'm trying to like just stay away and not, you know, like be a creep at the gym.
That makes, I like that advice a lot. I'm actually going to do this and I'm going to message you after I do it.
Yeah.
But I like, cause I really have no problem going up to dudes like at bars. Yeah. And I like, it's like, I love doing that. And I will just like be like, oh, hey, like you're really cute. Let me know if you want to get like coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
But the gym, I think it's also because I'm such a bad working out person. Like, and I play basketball too. And there's so many hot guys who play basketball.
Right.
But I am a mess after I play that I'm not going to be like, hey, man,
okay, wait,
what's up? And like with my inhaler.
Do like, guys like sweaty women? Because I get mixed signal.
Yeah.
I
mean,
mixed
not me when I'm really sweaty.
People tell me different things.
And I don't go to the gym trying to look good. I go to the gym and like I'm getting into it and I'm enjoying myself and maybe that's attractive in some way, but I'm not wearing like my best clothes, but some people do. And you do notice those people. And as a guy, like if I see a woman like with like this crazy coordinated outfit, on one level, it's like she's doing way too much. But on the another level, like that's hot. Like
I have one super cute coordinated outfit.
I was going to say, I do love like getting sweaty and shit, but I also like looking good. Like even when I play like any like I've done like football and like flag football, other shit. I will always like, I have everything.
Wear a dress.
Yeah. I do. And heels. High heels.
Yeah.
And I fucking sprint full fist.
Just sweating.
It always feels.
My mascara's running down.
Do you think like men are turned, I guess you can't speak on behalf of all men, but
you
like,
can.
Is
I
it
can.
A turn? Yeah, yes. You can.
He went on 100 on? Dates of theater.
Yeah, you know what? That's enough of a sample size for me. Yeah. Is that something that's attractive or a turnoff if you see a sweaty woman, or it depends on the amount
totally
of sweat?
Depends on who she is and what the vibe that I'm picking up for her, from her. Because, you know, if I find this woman attractive, she could be covered in sweat and like smell like the
shit.
Worst BO in the world. And I would still be like,
well, it's like your pheromone. Like, yeah, that's the thing though. Like when you're attracted to
and
someone.
And I like that she's just fucking getting into it. Like she doesn't give a fuck. Like I like that.
That is another thing I've heard from a lot of dude friends. They just, it's like someone who truly just doesn't give a fuck.
If you're like worried about something being gross to a guy, the guy's bar is way lower.
Oh, it's yeah.
This is very true.
This is very, very true.
Yeah.
I was hooking up with someone recently who just kept like farting as a joke. And I was like, you're going to shit my bed. And he was like, isn't that funny? But the whole time I was like, God, I need him to leave. So I just take a big dump.
That is such a turn off for me.
It's so gross for me too. Yeah, but also, like, it was just kind of, it was cute and funny. But I also was just like, I know you're very comfortable around me, but right now, like, I couldn't do that and be like, haha, so funny.
Like, I grew up in a house where my mom would make us, like, I grew up with three boys, and you'd think I'd be used to a lot of disgusting shit, but my mom like really made them contain it. And so like,
that's so funny. I also grew up with three boys. We've had like opposite where
she kind of made them more like her, like she like, if you have to fart, you have to go to the bathroom. She'd make us go to the bathroom.
Right.
Which is smart.
That was my dad's.
I don't want people farting around.
I know it's like a Middle Eastern thing, but that was like my dad's thing too. If like anybody farted, is like, you need to go to the bathroom.
Meanwhile, my family's just openly ripping farts. And I think because of that, I was like, that's disgusting. I can't do. I think I had the complete opposite where everyone would just like fart. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm traumatized. And I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I don't get how it's cute.
I've gotten bad gas pains, even with like a guy that I was hooking up with for a month. Who's like now just like a nice friend, like Jesse. Like, I would not, and he would be like, we've been drinking beer, like, I don't give a fuck. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna wait for you to leave in the morning, or I'd go to my bathroom and just, oh God, I can't do it in front of people. I'm traumatized.
I mean, women don't fart, or
I don't
shit.
Poop.
Never,
no,
yeah,
never.
So I wouldn't know what that's like. But I think we answered, okay,
yeah,
so
this was
I
really
like,
good
that
advice.
Was a very informative,
yeah. The main thing is the ball's in your court.
That is one thing I will absolutely say is true. Women have so much power. And of course, like, I think we should get used to also being like rejected, because I've seen women like who do pursue dudes and get rejected and have like an insane reaction because they're not like used to it as much as like dudes are. But I think it's a great thing to just, that's like how I've met so many people, is just being like, hey, by the way, but also, men, you can also do that in a nice, respectful way, especially to me if you're hot and above.
Come up to us at the gym.
Yeah.
No. Right. And one more thing to add, I don't think any guy is expecting it at the gym, but if he does get approached at the gym, he's going to be like,
all right,
yeah.
It's working.
Yeah, exactly. So it is very flattering in that sense. It's like validating on another level.
Yeah. Or go play soccer or basketball or any of the. There's so many hot dudes just playing. They are really into the game. You have to approach them probably after. I would never again.
Yeah, but I could see that.
I could never do that specifically.
Well, I'll report back to my therapist too and be like, this is advice I got. I'm like, you just told me to meet a guy at the gym. You didn't give me specifics. Mm-hmm. But now, okay. So I think that's very, very helpful advice. Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I'm going to do it next week when I can. Problem.
Yeah, let me know how it works.
Well, next week I'm in Boston all week. I'll go to a rock climbing gym.
There you go.
That's a good place.
Yeah, I've definitely, because I would be like, can someone belay me? And then some dude would be like, yeah, I could do it. But then I'm like struggling up the wall.
Belayed. Yeah. I guess it, but some guys I think find that cute. If you're like, oh, you're weak. That's so adorable.
Yeah, I'm also
let me help you.
Yeah. Once I get into a relationship or into like a hookup thing, I'm really competitive. Mm. So then I do a lot of like competitive bets that are mostly sex related. But at the same time, that's when I'm just like not gonna pretend that I don't know.
I don't even know what that means,
like if I'm like rock climbing against someone up the same wall, like I will give it my all and I will make sure that you lose.
Yeah.
So like in the beginning, I'm always like, yeah, like I don't know how to do it. And then afterwards, I'm like, I know how to do this so well and I'll beat you at it.
I am also very competitive. You strike me as someone that would be competitive since, I mean, like
in relationships?
No, in general, like. Maybe.
No, I mean, I certainly do have competitive aspects, but I try to like move away from them in any way possible. It never leads to happiness.
Yeah, I'm very, but but you're right.
But
you're
how
right.
fun is it? It's so fun.
It's so fun until nobody wants to talk to you.
Right. Okay. No kidding.
Well said.
I'm trying to find. Can you pull up our?
Yeah, I can do that.
Nothing's working here, the internet.
They're like, you guys need to.
They're like, get the fuck out of here. But also, thank you, Canal Street, for having us.
We have one last segment
called Keeping Up with a Caucasian.
And you get to pick a category, and then we're going to talk about whether or not you do the activity.
Okay.
So we have food or beverage, pop culture, TV, music, activities, style or clothing. Phrases or sayings or miscellaneous?
Let's do food or beverage.
Popular
food
one.
And beverage. Okay. I feel like because you're in LA, there's so many things.
He walked in with kombucha, which is on here.
I was like, there's so many things that you...
These are all things you probably do. But we should maybe choose something more...
Yeah.
I could use a different category if it helps.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
All right. Do you or have you ever had Lunchables?
When I was a kid, yeah.
As an adult, have you?
No. God, no.
Okay, because I know some dudes who have as adults.
With a beer, white. Like a Miller Lite and a Lunchable.
Yep, they're absolutely white.
That is
white.
Something I think we can all confirm.
Yeah, too. Okay. Yeah.
That is so weird. Did they like invite you over like picnic or lunch? And, like, here,
no, they're just
share
like,
my
they're just my dumb, trashy... white dude bro friends from like from forever ago where they're like, yeah, I got some Lunchables. I'm like, I'm really worried about your diet.
I could never have them because they're mostly ham, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's it's like very pork based and then it's like American cheese. It's extremely bland. Like so to eat that as an adult, I mean
yeah. Okay, well, I didn't grow up with it. Yeah. Did you have did you eat like normal American lunches growing up or
to a degree. I mean, I remember one time my dad packed me a pita lebni olive sandwich and I was like horrified to like break it out in front of my friends. But aside from that, I had pretty much normal lunches.
Oh, nice.
Every time, yeah.
I would always ask for peanut butter and jelly instead of like the delicious shit my mom would send. And now I like regret that. But of course, the kids are always like, kids are rude and they're like, what smells? And I'm like, oh.
I would never take, not intent, I just, when I was a kid, I was like picky and wouldn't eat like Arabic food. Now I love it. So my mom wouldn't pack it for me. And the funny thing is when I lived in Palestine, well, I went to an American school, but our most popular lunch there was a French fries sandwich in a gyro.
What?
It was fries
in a gyro.
And mayo and ketchup in a, like a sub.
It's just all carbs.
It is.
That's kind
of. I gained so much weight that year. I was like just eating this every day at school. But I'm like, that is probably the whitest thing. Like, where did they get mayo from? Also, it's also on the list. Are you a mayo person? Do you like
mayo? I like mayo. I didn't like mayo as a kid. I really hated it as a kid. And then when I was like 13, I got into it.
I do like mayo.
Stoner.
Yeah. I like it also. Stoner I'll put butter. Hot sauce on one side and mayo on the other. And
spicy mayo is
fucking I'll do that's what it's, like, yeah, I'll do an aioli, okay?
Yeah. Aioli like is mayo. Aioli is everything such is, a cop out.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Lunchables. Well, one last one because.
Yeah. Do you want a different category?
Or I was going to. Yeah.
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous?
Oh, right. A betting man. Okay. Go for the wild rolling card. The dice. That could really be anything. Like, also, guys, write in your white questions, categories, whatever. I need
write
more
in your
white...
whitest questions, everybody.
I literally got this from a list of like shit white people do. Written by a white guy. There's like a whole book and thing about it. So I did my research.
You know what? This is calling your parents' friends by their first names.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What?
Because I'm conflicted on that too.
I don't think I've ever done that
before. Right? Okay.
What do you call them?
Mom. Well, I mean, yeah,
mom.
You know, we a lot of auntie, uncle.
Yeah.
But okay, what about like your white friends? Yeah, that's where I get confused.
I call them Mr. Mrs.
Me
last
too.
Name. I cannot be like, oh, hey, Jeff and Linda.
It's
like,
so
I
weird.
Yeah, I think I would do the last name. I mean, but this is, I'm now thinking like, I don't address people's parents anymore or like.
Yeah. But if you had to, if you were drowning and the only person was like,
it's
Mr. Smith.
Right. Like I'm trying to think of like of all of my friends now too. There's no, like if I meet their parents, I would just, yeah, it'd be like Mr. or Mrs.
But also, I guess it depends, like, if they introduce themselves. Like, hi, I'm Judy.
Okay, I still can't. I still
do it.
Can't.
Yeah, I think it's disrespectful.
I can't.
Please call me Judy. No,
yeah. No, Mrs. Johnson. No, thank you.
Do you remember in Step Brothers when he first meets the dad? He's like, that. Mr. Yeah, Dobrik. Yeah. He's like, please call me Richard. He's like, okay, Mr. Dobrik. It's so. Yeah, it's like that. I just can't.
Movie.
Yeah, I love that movie so much.
So funny. Yeah, I still can't. Like, I can't. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird for me. And then if it's, like, another person whose, like, parents are immigrants but not necessarily, like, brown, like, it's weird because you're, like, they don't necessarily have the auntie, uncle thing. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they right. do. It just depends. So I feel like it's a safer thing to go with, like, the last name. I feel like it's a...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or I just don't even, like, if I need something, I'm like, really loud,
hey!
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just flail your arms until someone pays attention. That's the worst when you can't, like, you never address someone. Are there people, like, you just avoid ever saying their name?
Been there.
So we're not white. Congratulations.
We're not white.
Yeah, you passed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why you came in here so we could know for sure.
You came late. You brought kombucha, kind of cancels each other out.
Yeah,
though.
Right.
We were late too.
Yeah, we were late too.
The kombucha cancels 10 minutes.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Thank you so much, Sammy. Where can our listeners find you, follow you, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, all the socials at Sammy Obeid, just my name. I'm just doing a bunch of like shows around the country one by one, nothing massive, no massive tour. But check my socials. I'll post where I'm at and come see me live.
Dope. Thank you. Thanks so much. It was so nice chatting with you.
Yeah, you too. It was fun.
Yeah, and you can find us on No Fly List Pod. And you can find me at Amama Sardar.
Follow me at Ethir Yakub.
Yay, thank you.
Bye.
Hey.